Clerk number seven, please.
Item number seven, Org Unit 1940, Appropriation for Contingencies, page 399.
Thank you. Mr. Fudge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. The appropriation for contingencies budget increases over the 2013 adopted level by $3.6 million. Included in that on the unallocated contingency side, which is really the funding for unanticipated items, emergencies, that sort of thing, that increases to about $4.3 million. That includes the $553,000 that was set aside for the zoo in 2013. We've shifted that over to the unallocated side, and then also increased it by an additional $241,000. There's $3.4 million worth of items in the allocated contingency for items that we knew might be coming and we wanted to set aside funds for. $1.3 million of that is to offset a possible revenue issue in the water utility. We have had some issues with getting the larger private members to pay the fire protection charge as part of the water bill on the county grounds. Excuse me. There's $900,000 set aside mostly for IMSD should the state of Wisconsin decide they're not going to utilize IT services at the COGS facility. There is $700,000 set aside for the Department of Child Support Services. Originally, when the state biennial budget was adopted, it looked like, and the department's request was based on an increase in GPR support of about $700,000. During the summer, the Department of Children and Families issued a draft formula for those funds that basically would have not given Milwaukee County any increase over last year. So we set aside those funds to account for that. There are some developments related to that that I would ask the child support director to discuss. There's a new draft formula that a committee has suggested would be much friendlier to the county, fortunately. So there's some new information on that. And then there's an additional $500,000 set aside for maintenance issues in the dispatch center for facilities management. Certainly, there are maintenance needs there, and so this sets aside funding for that as we determine the long-term future of that facility. In addition to that $500,000, there's another $500,000 set aside in the UWM funding in the land sale. So there's a total possibly of $1 million in funding for major maintenance for that that item.
Thank you. Supervisor Cohen, this Supervisor Jersey.
Can you provide a little more detail on the difficulty in collecting payments for fire protection services?
I may defer to Corporation Counsel or Facilities Management for that specifically. I believe it was 2 years ago we placed the fire protection charge into the water utility since they're basically geographically the same. And from what I understand, some of the larger facilities out there have not wanted to make that portion of the payment. I believe that was discussed in the September cycle as part of the 2013 fiscal update that there's a shortfall in the water utility. Not to go into too much detail because I'm unsure, but I understand that Corp Counsel feels that there is a chance that we can succeed in getting that revenue from them, but I would defer to them on some of those technical legal issues.
Who are the entities that are not wanting to pay?
It's basically most of the non-county facilities out there, so you can imagine the hospitals.
Medical college? And the businesses out there?
UW Extension.
Mr. Supervisor, I believe UW Extension is cross-charged, so they do pay as part of it. Instead of sending them a bill, they're cross-charged to the water utility, so I don't believe UW Extension is an issue.
Thank
Supervisor Jersey.
I don't know if this is previous practice where we put money into contingency and then talk about the specific items that are in effect being protected. I don't consider that a true contingency. Contingency is, to me, unexpected expenses to really protect ourselves in the budget. I mean, I add up these charges, and then I add up the 1.5 transit mistake, and then I think we learned that there was a mistake with regard to $600,000 for bailiffs.
Mm-hmm.
You total that up, that's 5.5. I subtract that from the 7.7, and we really have a contingency fund up here of $2.2 million, which is, again, really, you know, a thin contingency. And I'm just concerned about the way we are setting up our contingency.
Mr. Budge, you have a reaction.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, regarding the errors in paratransit and the Office of the Sheriff, since the first communication went out about paratransit, we then, late last week, discovered the Office of the Sheriff issue, which was very technical in nature. We have worked this past weekend and yesterday to put together a plan to fix those issues based on new information, which was in the memo that was sent out late yesterday. There's the $800,000 of TIF revenue. There's the changes to the dental plan that can be instituted at a reduced cost. There is the increase in computer exemption revenue that the state has informed us on the 26th, I believe, of September. There is taking some of this expenditure authority out of the facilities management and the child support based on the new information. So we have developed alternatives that can that can fix those issues without touching the unallocated contingency fund of $4.3 million. There's also another issue that we'll be discussing in the next budget that we can also fix partially with some of these funds based on the new information from the state child support and also the facilities management with the dispatch. So I think our goal in putting this item together was to be very conservative, knowing that these items were out there that were possible major impacts to the county. The facilities management in the dispatch area, we set aside $1 million. While $1 million would be excellent, I think we can, knowing that there are issues now that we need to fix. $500,000 in the UWM land sales budget would be sufficient because we, for a short term, knowing that we need to figure out what to do with that facility in the long term. So the goal is really understanding the mistakes that have been made. We can take care of those with the new information that we have on some of these other items and not touch the $4.3 million in unallocated contingency.
Okay, Supervisor Jersey?
Well, that's all very nice. continue to make policy decisions while you change the budget. I can tell you, I consider this budget a $2.1 million out-of-balance budget that has been presented to the county board. So that's my response. All of those policy decisions that you've indicated, I think the board is going to have to weigh in terms of the overall budget. And, the county executive can go out and tell people he produced a budget that calls for no tax levy. My response is he produced a budget that has a $2.1 million deficit, and I think the contingency fund is very, very thin. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cady.
Just an observation, and I'm not going to comment or anything about the flogging on the budget errors, which are separate, but the presentation of this budget is somewhat unusual in that in the past we have never really seen that kind of money being put in to hedge against possible shortcomings. In fact, it's in some ways it's impressive that they provide 100% hedge against not getting something. Which kind of leads you to believe that if you plan on not getting it, you know, what are the chances, you know, someone's going to pay a charge if you budgeted not to get it? So there's some challenges there. So in some ways they went above and beyond that what we've seen in the past. Perhaps the other ways you may want to think about that is you know, for example, there's critical work for the 911 communication center. I would perhaps suggest you might want to think about that in lieu of other things that you have in the budget. You have a program to give a $350,000 grant to the city of Milwaukee to improve, we'd say, law enforcement with the ShotSpotter program. But yet it's recognized you have some major needs to your own critical 911 center that need to be addressed. Perhaps that's the type of thinking. So it's when you think outside of just this budget, think about you may have some other areas that are sort of connected to this. And I just to kind of throw that out there.
Can I have a follow-up?
Proceed, Supervisor.
Yeah, I appreciate Mr. Cady's comments. I guess it then begs the question, if you're going to identify these specific allocated contingencies to protect those outcomes, what other ones aren't pulled out? I just think this is, to me, a contingency is something that we can rely on as funds going forward with unexpected expenses. And if we can identify these here, and the question is, what ones aren't identified here that we could have talked about? Because I think the budget has a lot of those. They just happened to pull out four of them, and then I added the two, you know, known deficits going forward. So I don't know if that's a fair question.
Mr. Fudge?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I certainly appreciate your comments on the reconciliation items that we've proposed. Two things related to that. One, once the first error was disclosed, we did receive feedback from supervisors that asked us to not to rely on you to fix it, but to put forward a way to balance it and fix it. And so that is the effort that I described. This is done fairly routinely. The state of Wisconsin, for instance, the Department of Administration publishes an errata report that shows the mistakes that they've made that run into the tens of millions of dollars. And they say, here's what you can do to fix it. So these are our ideas to replace it. Obviously, you have the final say in how that will get fixed. But that was kind of the direction that we took from the supervisors who weighed in on that. So that's our best effort to repair the mistakes that we've made. And second, with the items, you know, what else is lurking out there? These were the biggest items that we knew about. Obviously, there will always be items that we don't know about that come up. These were the ones that obviously have a large, several hundred thousand dollars or greater fiscal impact. And so we wanted to be conservative, not put this county in a position next May, June, July, when it comes up that the water utility is not going to get paid, or the state, you know, tells us in November that you're not getting any extra child support, and so then we have to tell child support, sorry, you can't fill those positions. So this was our best effort, and I think we got almost everything that we know about.
Well, I appreciate the best effort part, and I think what I'm hearing you saying is today, as far as you know, these are the four. Forget the 2.1, you know, mistakes. But these are the four that you know of today, and there's nothing else lurking out there that you know of. Is that a fair comment?
Yes. The only other item that's even similar to this would be the sale of O'Donnell that was brought up earlier. It's a possibility that it will happen, and so we wanted to be responsible in that regard and not simply budget a full year of parking revenue in O'Donnell and then have the decision made to sell O'Donnell. Well, yeah, but Parks is going to lose $1 million in revenue. Also, in economic development, we've been told by the state that our parking lots under 794 will be out of commission, and we won't get that revenue. So we put those items in because they're very similar to these, but they're a little more directly impacting, I guess, an item. And we wanted to also lay these out very specifically, that these were large items. In retrospect, we could have put those items in here as well. It was just a matter of wanting to make sure at least that we got them.
Well, let's not get started on O'Donnell yet.
Yeah, not yet.
That's got a lot of comments.
Well,
so I'll yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Haas, someone else is over here. Was that Lipscomb?
Yeah.
And then Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think my constituents that are present today would be happy that I'm asking about extending on Supervisor Jurczyk's comments. You've laid out four things that are allocated contingency, and then I know in the past we've had things, of course, come up during the year as they do. What I'm thinking of specifically is the legal bills that have cropped up. I remember last year we were sitting here looking at a six-figure payment that we weren't expecting when our very good comptroller, and thank God we have you, Scott, said, well, actually, I had something set aside just for that. But are we not expecting big legal settlements? And is that something that should be left for the unallocated contingency?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, we had to put these items in terms of a probability. What is the probability that we're going to face these costs? Legal challenges are greatly unknown, depending on where they end up. Some of them will have an impact on the fringe budget. This is also one of the reasons. So the probability of legal settlements not being in our favor is a complete unknown, whereas these items are a little more known, if you will, the higher probability. This is also one of the reasons that we had recommended building towards a goal of having the debt service reserve. And so we wanted to increase the unallocated contingency for emergencies, which goes up by $800,000. Set aside these larger items where there's a higher probability than a coin flip that we'll need to make these payments, and then also try to build up a reserve in the debt service reserve to account for those other items that are less than a coin flip or complete unknowns.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, since we're dealing with known unknowns now, is there a more detailed breakdown of what you have in mind for the contingencies? That is more than just, this is helpful, but is there, you referred to some things that you thought might be coming. Is that available somewhere?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, you mean these items plus the item in parks, the item in economic development? We can certainly comb through and try to put them all into one, if you will, set asides for possible issues, if that's what you're seeking.
Well, I don't think we need them per se, but I'm glad you're conscious of what might happen. Not right now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisors Lipscomb, Schmidt, Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I appreciate that you started to detail it. We wouldn't be having this discussion otherwise. We'd be mm-hmm. saying, well, why'd you increase it 90%? You know, what do you know that you're not telling us? So I wouldn't criticize you for detailing it. In fact, it's the kind of detail that's missing from
yep.
other sections that will probably be criticized. Specifically, could we talk about the COGS issue, because we reserve $900,000, but is that because our expectation that if it happens, it doesn't happen till August, and so we're reserving for a third of the year, or what? How is that? How did we arrive at $900,000 rather than the $2.7 million?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, this is Don Tyler. I'm Director of Administrative Services. Regarding this specific question, we have been in very early discussions with the state regarding the possibility of renewing their lease. There's two primary components of that lease agreement. One is specifically related to the rent they pay for the space. The other component is related to the support that IMSD provides to their departments there. They have indicated to us that they have a great desire to work away from our platform and assimilate back into their platform. So that, I think, is strong enough of a message for us that it's important for us to establish a contingency. We don't know when that would happen or whether that would happen, but we do know that that's a desire that they have.
So it's not that we anticipate they're not going to lease the space, it's that we anticipate that they will not use our information services.
Mr. Chair and supervisors, part of the discussion that we're having is relative to the leasing of the space as well. Again, early on in the conversations, they've indicated to us that they do have a desire to remain in COGS if an agreement can come together where it's mutually beneficial. But regardless of whether they stay or go, there's a desire on their part for sure to gravitate toward their technology platform.
Okay. And what are we... What's the frame of the time frame of the discussion that we're having with them in terms of, well, when are we going to know something? But also, what are we what are we trying to negotiate? Are we continuing to eke out these short-term deals, or are we going to do a long-term lease? The space plan, the consultant's report talked about, you know, the opportunity to sell COGS, but it has little or no value if it doesn't if it's not under a long-term lease. You know, the whole value, implied value in it was that you have the state as a tenant. So where are we on that?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, that is one of the key components of the discussions. It seems as though, I don't want to speak for the state, but information that we've received from them is that they have a desire to make a long-term commitment. And that's really the focus of our discussions, rather than just a simple 12-month renewal.
And I'm sorry, and then the time frame for our negotiations, do we think we're going to have this end of the year, first quarter? When will we have better certainty?
I'm sorry, I didn't answer that. We would hope by the end of the year, because the 12-month term expires at the end of the year. That is our aspiration, and we expect that to happen. But, you know, this is if we get into the discussions related it to being a much longer-term lease, if for one reason or another the state chooses to vacate the building, it might take a little bit longer. But that's our desire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisors Schmidt, Cullen, Bowen.
I guess this whole process points out the exceeding. I know it's a good faith. I always talk about zero, but look at all the maybe $4 million, $5 million in adjustments already. So it puts us in such a difficult position, because obviously when you talk about zero, look at all the changes we've had to make already. A lot of the changes you're proposing takes away a lot of our flexibility, and where we'd like to see some monies going. These are policy decisions. I mean, we do appreciate, I think, the fact you came forward, and you know, I think we're trying to do an honest. I'm not accusing anybody of not honest budgeting. Okay, I'm certainly not doing that. Okay, what I am saying though is look what a fluid process is. Look, in October we're making all the changes. I know you have to make decisions in the summer, and then but it really puts us in a situation where, you know, we lose some flexibility in making some decisions and trying to help keep that tax levy low, too. You're taking away so many possibilities for us to kind of be flexible in the budget. And, you know, and so I know this is the give and take we're going to have, but, you know, I much rather would have seen, and easier said than done, I understand this, but when you see, you know, discrepancies, and, yeah, you had to come forward. You couldn't leave us with a 2.1 to start with. But in a sense, we almost are, because these are your decisions, and we got other needs that we're looking at. And so we're really at a, you know, at a very difficult situation. And, of course, what else is new, okay? But, you know, I wish we could go back and look. You know, we got the CMAQ money in transit, you know, and I know it's not popular to talk about losing any routes or, you know, going from $3 to $4, but, you know, if the departments can't help themselves, we have to make up the differences somewhere else. So we've got the, you know, the mistake in transit, but we're making that mistake up in other areas. I mean, transit isn't really, you know, putting that money in. The sheriffs, now there's $600,000. Well, we got to find that $600,000. It's not in the sheriff's budget, I guess. So, I mean, it really complicates matters for us. And, you know, I know these things come up, but I think you have to be, and I appreciate the start you made by saying, yeah, you know, this magic goal, and everybody's, the executives are always heroes because they can be zero all the time, when in essence, it's not reality. This is not a zero budget you're presenting to us, okay? We have to make all the adjustments, and then the adjustments we make, then we're the tax raisers, of course. So while I do appreciate the initial efforts you came for, we did ask that you make some changes, and you know, we look at these are ideas, and like my colleagues mentioned before, it's sure better getting these ideas now than waiting after the fact. But again, it makes us wary, because as you go through and we look at these budgets again, and we're going to take a long time on the sheriff, we're going to take a long time on BHD, we're going to take a long time on transit, okay, is maybe, again, as you get more information, you know, you can be coming forward and saying and giving our staff some good ideas, too. I mean, they've raised some very good, legitimate questions. I know how many hours your staff put into this, too. That's appreciated, too, okay? But so many things are dynamic and change. So I'm just saying you need to be flexible in answering some of the questions that our staff brings up and in bringing other ideas besides these that you have, because I think the devil is always in the details. And through the narrative, we can't see all these things. You have to be candid with us and come forward and say, you know, well, maybe there's another way we can try to work as we keep the tax levy, though, or try to get to this magical zero. And so I guess I just had to make those comments because those were in the back of my mind to start with, too. So cooperation with the two people sitting there would be much appreciated, helping us out, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Cullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, today we're sort of at a, you know, beginning stage, sort of housekeeping, things like that. And I, Mr. Fudge, I just had some questions about the memo that you sent out. I appreciate that there was some reconciliation of this potential problem, and you know, for the record, I just want people to know I wasn't involved in the press releases or sending emails saying I'm aghast. I mean, I understand, but I do have some questions about some of the language you use in your memo, which leads me to question things. One. With the dental benefit, and for the record too, I don't take the county dental benefit, but you describe it as enhancing the dental benefit for employees while reducing the cost to reducing the cost of the county. I assume you mean on page four, and you know, I guess if I was an employee using that benefit, and I read the memo, I guess I'm missing words that much enhanced. Go from no annual maximum to a $3,000 annual maximum and different levels of payments that are made. So that language concerned me a little bit. And then the fact that in another part of the memo, let me find it here, excuse me, in the dispatch center, you just sort of, you know, oh, we find $100,000. I mean, why didn't you find that? Why did you allocate $1 million for it? Why didn't you just initially allocate $900,000 for it? That's my second question. I mean, if we're trying to have this tight budget and moving all these things around so easily. And then I just had one other question on the contingency fund, and you can answer these when you have a chance. The $700,000 for children and families, which you would be reduced to $550,000 under the proposal because you take $150,000 of that. Now that was a bill which, or maybe part of the state budget, which I think the county executive trumpeted as, you know, how great we did with our friends in the legislature. But then when the governor's bureaucrats started doing the formula, they sort of said, well, this is a great thing, but Milwaukee County, you aren't getting anything, essentially. Congratulations, former Senator Sullivan, who really worked hard on this, and County Executive Abley. That money you thought you were going to get, we're not going to give to you. So is there really a need to even put the $550,000 in? And can't we just be at last year's level? And maybe that's premature at this point. So, thank you.
Mr. Fudge.
Mr. Chairman and supervisors, on the dental language, certainly understand it's a change from what's current. However, it was just an effort to point out that by putting back the DMO with the new plan design, it actually is a better benefit than what's currently in the recommended budget, which is just the PPO with the lower maximum. So it's basically saying we're going to save money and provide a better benefit than what's currently recommended. As far as the dispatch center, you know, we understand there's significant needs there. you know, we have estimates that there might be $1 million, but it depends on how long we're going to stay there. So at the end of the day, recognizing that, the priority is fixing the mistakes that were made. We believe that $900,000 would be sufficient for that. Regarding the child support, from what we understand right now, and we should know later this week, it's possible that child support will only need about $150,000 of that $700,000. But we didn't want to include all of that in the assumption with the reconciliation, because if the state comes back and says, no, we're staying with our original, then we've given you an alternative that now we have to take back and isn't going to work. So we felt the priority being filling the mistakes that were made, we can give $150,000 of that $700,000, because, you know, child support can probably absorb that $150,000 over the course of a year if they don't get any additional funding. Or maybe DCF will come back with a slightly less generous formula, but that's still better than what they originally proposed. So the goal is really to use the available resources, as I mentioned, to try to fix the mistakes that were made in the most responsible manner.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the state at the Cogs building and how much of this 2.7 number is IT and how much is this number rental? And that might be a question better for our DAS director.
Director Tyler.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I don't have the detail in front of me, so I apologize for that. But my recollection is that $900,000 is very specific to the IMSD revenue.
Okay. And this might be a question for IMSD, but we're talking about the state using their own platform, their own maybe IT tools for their employees to use. Are they saying that our employees, our IT department can't service the system that they have?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, it has much less to do in terms of IMSD staffing capabilities or resources available, but much more related to them needing to migrate to their own specific platform. If you go into some of their offices there, what you'll see is they've got two basically terminals and computers, one platform for the old legacy system from the county, and then their platform from the state. So it's simply they've made a commitment. Now it seems as though that they've made a commitment long term to make this migration to the state and ideally to stay in COGS if it works for us and if it works for them. And their first logical step is to migrate off of the system that the county has been supporting through the years.
Gotcha. Thank you. And my final question is about the water utility. Are we estimating that with 1.3, that would be 100%? Just like Steve said, that we're covering 100% of these costs. Is it expected that we won't be able to get any of the entities out at the county grounds to contribute on that cost?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, the $1.3 million is a hedge against that possibility.
Would it be fair to support half of that in the expectation that we could get at least half of the entities on county grounds to pay that fee?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, I would defer to DAS Facilities Management and the Office of the Corporation Counsel on that specific question. I don't know well enough to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I reserve those questions for the appropriate
Supervisor Stafford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On average, I guess the five-year average, how much have we appropriated for the contingency fund?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I don't know off the top of my head. I can easily get that, and I can ask some of my staff maybe to go back and look, and we'll get you that by the end of the day.
Okay, and then in relation to us transferring the 911 calls to the city, is that any way affected by the amount necessary or not necessary needed in the hedge fund regarding to the $500,000 allocation?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, no. The funding for that initiative is in the 1975 law enforcement grants, which is in the non-departmental expenditures consolidated budget. So, no, there'll be no issue with that.
Okay. And is there a projected cost on the damage to the fire damage to the county building? And was that paid for by insurance, or is any of that money contingency money?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, the vast majority of that work will be funded by insurance. There was two items last cycle, one to create reimbursement authority for bondable items for about $2 million for maintenance issues that are discovered during the repairs related to the fire, but which were not actually caused by the fire and therefore would not be covered by insurance. And then there was also, I believe, a $200,000 fund transfer out of the appropriation for contingencies for non-bondable items, if I remember correctly, and I'll double-check and on that.
Right.
But so there's funding basically for those items that has been provided in 2013.
Okay.
I would also add that there's another, I believe we increased major maintenance funding in facilities, and we can discuss that when we get to that budget, by about $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and certainly that's for non-fire-related items. So,
okay. We don't have a total cost yet?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I don't believe yet.
Okay. All right, well, when you do, I like that information. And how much was funded by insurance versus contingency? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Appreciate that. If there are no other comments or questions regarding Org Unit 1945 appropriations for contingency, let's go to item number 8.